When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The views expressed in this podcast, Champ and Tramp, belong to the host and guests, not the Champ and Tramp podcast itself. It's intended for entertainment information, so please use discretion. We're not responsible for any outcomes resulting from the content discussed. Hey guys, we've been telling you about these Slammin' RTDs from Carnivore right here. You can get a 3-pack from $9.99. These are the cleanest and best RTDs on the market. 40 grams of protein, zero fat, zero sugar, and zero lactose.
I'm holding my favorite flavor right here, chocolate. All the flavors are amazing, but chocolate, always my favorite, my go-to. You can check them out. Go to MuscleMedsRx.com to order yours today.
Real show, here we go. Real show, here we go. You know that it's got to be that time, so this is what we chant. What keeps on getting them all amped in advance. Come on. You and I rocking out with Iron Man F.E. You get the general's point of view on top of Roger's rants. Whenever it's happening out, we're putting the most minutes in. You already know what that's about. You know that winners win. Crush whatever's on task. Check the podcast. It's the Champ and the Tramp. Let the bomb blast.
What's up, everybody? We got my man CJ Fragola, right?
La Fragola?
La Fragola.
Well, close enough. Close enough.
La Fragola.
Fragoli.
No, he's a teammate of mine, Brown University grad, current assistant coach at Drexel University, amateur, undefeated amateur?
Yes, sir. 2-1 right now.
2-1 right now as a pro, fighting April 13th,
CFFC.
Coming up.
Yeah. Got a lot of guys fighting that card.
Can't wait.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, we got our boys. We got Mark, from, yep. I call it, we're the only MMA team with two Ivy Leaguers.
Look
so
at that.
I think that's,
look at that.
That's got to be something, right?
Yeah, definitely went to school to wrestle.
And then we got our Dante squad with us. So
yeah, hell yeah.
I feel like for you wrestling guys, and wrestling's a whole world in and of itself, right, that I don't know much about because my high school didn't offer it. We had like fly fishing and log rolling up there. But anyway, your choices are limited. If you want to pursue your career as an athlete, it's kind of limited. You can go into coaching, right? I mean, Sebastian's kind of facing this now too, right? Mm-hmm. MMA is always an option, but a lot of guys don't like getting punched in the face. So at what point did you know that was an option for you? Were you wanted to get in there and showcase some other talents other than just your wrestling?
Yeah, I see it all the time with, so we got the PRTC guys at over at Drexel, like Jordan Burroughs trains with us, and they always like dabble with the idea of like, oh, maybe I'll do the fighting and stuff. Like, he's obviously Olympic, whatever, but like a lot of those guys that are kind of on the way, trying to figure out, like, they might not even be the team member for the USA team. It's like to do that, to be an Olympic team member, there's like six guys out of the whole country. Right. It's like,
and there's
the
only
best of the
be
best.
One.
There's
what people
one spot.
Don't understand. Like, in fighting, you could be the top 20, can make a living in fighting, you know? Mm. In wrestling, you got to be the best guy every year, and you got to wrestle off that spot every year. It's tough.
You would think just the top 20, I would think it's even a bigger...
Probably more, I'm just saying.
Exactly, yeah. So it's like, for me personally, like, I mean, I obviously that is one route, right? You can go the Olympic way, the senior level route, which I've wrestled some of those tournaments just for, why not? Like, put the singlet on, have some fun. I did the US Open a couple times just to give it a whirl, but it wasn't like, never was a goal of mine to try to be an Olympic team member or something. Right. I just kind of did it for, hey, my kids are out here wrestling, it'll be cool to wrestle with them.
See, Uriah Faber's kind of going back to that, right?
Yeah,
he got into a couple wrestling tournaments recently.
He did a
tournament. Was it grappling?
During like the
he did the Masters
fight expo
too.
Like
yeah,
fight expo, I think.
I think my mic just cut out again. No, I'm back in. All right.
Yeah, him and Clay Guida did like the Masters division. Yep. So like they have like different levels, like with the age groups and stuff. So like once you hit like, I think it's like an over 35 or something, where like those guys.
That's cool to see those guys always staying active, though. You know what I mean? I mean those. Uriah's got to be, is your age, early 40s?
He's a little older than me. Yeah. A couple of years, I think.
But yeah, for me, it's funny. It took a weird route. I mean, I was always intrigued by MMA, growing up. I mean, watching you growing up and just watching a lot of different fighters growing up. It's always fun to watch. And then during my time at college, Steve Mako's brother went to Brown, Joe Mako. Okay. So, he had brought Steve up a few times. We had actually gone down to Top Team a lot. So like back when Covington was still at Top Team, I used to like roll around with him a lot. He actually came up to Brown a few times and would like help me with just wrestling stuff. And I'm like, so at first I kind of got introduced with just the wrestling side. Like I would go down to Top Team, wrestle with some of the guys, roll around. And then like the more you're around it, you're like, oh, this is pretty cool. And like, it's intriguing. And then like, I really didn't start sparring though until after like my grad year when I came into Knicks, like after COVID is when I really got into like full MMA. But I was definitely interested in the idea of it during college. So especially going down, seeing all the guys at like ATT, I'm like, oh, this is really cool. Like a bunch of killers down here. And like, once I felt like I can like roll with these guys, at least with the wrestling side, I'm like, hey, maybe I can figure out the other side of stuff. I'm an athlete. Like, you know, I could figure out how to hit a baseball. Maybe I can figure out how to throw a punch. So it's like, I kind of like, you know, doing a lot of sports growing up, I think kind of like correlated pretty well for me transitioning.
You played baseball too, right?
Yeah. Baseball, football. Yep. So like I was crazy. I did my grad year at Sacred Heart, actually played football, and I was playing baseball until it got canceled with COVID. So I was able to at least play all three in college a little bit, which is cool. But I did all three growing up in like high school, and awesome. And I played whatever I could. And so, you know, little kid, you know,
how old are you?
26.
26. Poppy, bro.
That's crazy. I remember being 26 and thinking dudes my age now are fucking old men. You know what I mean?
Well,
now,
you are fucking old, bro.
Hey, bro, you ain't far away from me, pal. Hey, you ain't far away.
I'm not saying that.
Listen, just because of that statement you made about going to Top Team and rolling with Kobe Covington, I mean, poses the obvious question. Did you get to know him personally at all? I mean, they say, you know, remove the persona, which he's an absolute douchebag. We talk about him quite often. Like, how do you get to that level of douchebaggery? You just cross so many lines. But they say, outside of that, he's a pretty nice dude. Did you get to see that side of him at all or no?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. You know, I don't want to kill his persona, but yeah, no, he's definitely
You also saw him before he kind of got, or was this his persona back then too?
Yeah,
he kind of he was a different person.
There was a switch. Yeah,
yeah. He I mean, obviously the big one was the Damian Maia fight. Mm-hmm. He was kind of put on the line. It's like, hey,
is that where he talked all the shit about Brazil?
That was the one where he's the filthy animals, that whole thing. In Brazil, and that was kind of where he was like, it's a crossroad here. It's like, yeah, I'm winning fights, but at the same time, it's like, I'm not just putting, you know, selling pay per views or whatever. So it's like that was the one where I think he had to kind of put a line in the sand and kind of go a different way. But, you know, behind the scenes, I mean, the dude, he's legit, you know, like in my opinion, like he just, you know, always takes care of me when I go down there. Like I actually been down there pretty recently, back in the summer, like kind of later summer last year. I went down to like Miami, you know, check it out. I was actually in West Palm Beach and then I trained with him in Miami because I got family down there. But yeah, he's super down to earth to me and like open doors at all times. Yeah. Like dude's you know, crazy on the social media, hey, man, that's part of the
game, right? Love him or hate him, as a fighter, you can't take anything away from that dude. He's a phenom fighter. I mean, I think his last fight, he was off a step, but, I mean, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, you hear a little buzz in your ears?
I do hear a little buzz, yeah.
I don't know if, right, you hear a little buzz in your ears?
I'm not hearing too much. It's a little low on mine.
Oh, you might be down on there, because we didn't have a guest last time, so.
Oh, whatever that.
You're back in.
I hear a buzz though, right?
There's a little buzz. As long as you don't pick it up and post, I don't give a shit. I can deal with it, but.
Yeah, all right, cool.
That's all good. That's a lot better, whatever you just did. Yeah.
Yeah, sorry about that. But yeah, but
I mean, you would agree.
Regardless of what, you, that he's.
You would agree that as a fighter, I'm not saying you're a fan. I'm just saying you can't take anything away from him.
No, he's tough. Yeah. Obviously, he's good. I mean, you don't fight Kamaru Usman that close and not be a good fighter.
Right.
You don't make it to the title that many times and not be a good fighter.
Right. Yeah, he's good, very good. Yeah, I mean, like the first time, you know, the first time I rolled with him and stuff was just strictly wrestling. And I'm like, you know, wrestling's a 7-minute match. You guys, at the time, like I never did a fight before. I was like, you guys are doing 25-minute fights sometimes, the championship fights. I'm like, man, 7 minutes for this guy. I get to like the 5-minute mark in like a wrestling match. I'm like, dang, I'm tired, you know? Dude's just starting to warm up. Yeah, that's the first round for him.
He's
like,
tank,
so like 7 minutes compared to the 25. I was like, dang, man, this dude's gas tank's a joke. My dad used to be like, man, what do you take? You taking something? Like some sort of like blood flow, you know, something to keep like the lactic acid out. He's like, nah, I just like, dude's just naturally gifted with a tank, man.
Some people
crazy.
Just have that, yeah.
People got motors.
I'm like, what's your training method? You know, that's how I always go with. I'm like, what can I do to like, match that? I mean, you can always work.
You're only 26. Have you been an MMA fan like your whole life, or?
Honestly,
I mean, short life.
I always
very short life.
Yeah, I mean, I always enjoyed, you know, watching MMA and stuff. Growing up, you know, it was football and baseball was actually.
You grew up where? Little Egg Harbor, down south.
Yeah. You know, Little Egg. Yeah, I actually grew up like when I was real little. I would have been a Mustang if I like stayed in Brick forever. Like,
oh, right
I,
on.
Until like maybe like second grade or so, and then I went over. Okay. We went south because we had like family down there. But yeah, I've been Jersey Shore, this area, the whole time. That's kind of how we knew Catone. My mom teaches at Brick.
Okay.
She's over at Memorial now. She was at Old Brick, so we're still like connected to this area through and through. You know,
Jersey cranks out athletes, that's for sure, especially fighters. Yeah. So you're a welterweight. Who would you say as a fan? Who's the greatest welterweight of all time?
Oh, that's a tough question. I know because Dana was just saying Usman was like he was kind of giving him the crown, but I mean it's hard, man. I mean,
give me top three.
Make
it a little easier.
I'm still like a huge GSP fan. I still stick by that a little bit. You know, I mean, Usman, you can't knock what he accomplished. Like, I mean, he did run the gauntlet. He fought pretty much everybody in that top you know tier. But yeah, I mean, I'm always a GSP fan through and through. I mean, I think I'd probably have to pick him as one, Kamaru two, and then three. It kind of like gets wishy washy.
Come on, give me a three. Give me a three.
And then you're gonna go next, Frankie.
Give me a three.
Three. Dude, I'm drawing a blank. I mean,
come on, bro. You're a fucking welterweight.
I mean,
come on. How about the guy that put wrestling on the map? One of the guys that put wrestling on the map. Come on, Rod. You don't know.
Put wrestling on the map. The first guy was the guy
70 pounder
that you went to Clarion with. What's his name? Koscheck, right? Koscheck.
No, well, not yet. Yeah, he was good, but now he's not number three.
Tyron Woodley.
He could be in the argument for sure.
I'm drawing a blank.
Farm boy, bro. Come on.
Oh, Matt Hughes.
Matt Hughes, dude.
Yeah, you're right. 100%. Yep.
Yeah.
He had his moment, man. Yeah. He did. He was running through dudes.
Yeah.
He was.
Obviously, he's very early. But, he has a win over GSP. He has a win over BJ Penn.
Yep.
You know?
GSP's only lost twice, right? Sarah and Matt. That's it. I mean, Sarah and Hughes.
Matt, yeah, Matt and Matt.
Yeah, Matt and Matt. Matt, yeah, and Matt. Yeah. He's got a weakness for the Matts. That's
it. Oh, man. Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, would you... Those top three you would agree with?
Yeah, I right there. It's all preference. The whole pound for pound thing is all case by case and preference. You know what I mean? It's kind of made up stuff. But GSP and GSP and Kamara, I think it could go right. You know, right. Boom, boom, one more.
It was something about watching GSP fight. He just had just something exciting about, you know, seeing
a little
that
flashy,
dude.
Right?
Yeah,
you know, yeah.
His post, you know, fight. Speeches were always epic, and remember he got down
entertained by your performance.
Yeah, he got down on, you know, his knees, like, Dana, please,
do I have to beg for a title? I will beg for a title.
Almost as good as the Virginia governor. Almost as good. Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, I'm not a fighter, but I am a fan. I think I would definitely agree with that. I can't believe I kind of forgot about Matt Hughes there for a second, but
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and then obviously, I mean, I gotta bring up my boy. I mean, Colby's up there in the argument, I think, a little bit.
I mean, I don't know. He can't be in the argument over a champion.
Yeah,
no, right.
No, that's true.
Usman, yeah.
I mean, he's got the interim. He got the interim belt in that one.
Interims
don't count. Come on. But yeah, I mean, and he beat Woodley, but it was like one of Woodley's last fights there. Was that his last fight in the UFC? That one when he
Woodley lost a couple towards the end.
Yeah, but at least he beat some former champs.
Do you feel like that's
good? Don't get me wrong.
Is that universally felt that interims don't count?
I don't know. They're just they're not real.
Gaethje threw his down in the ring when he got his.
I mean, it's pretty much a number one contender belt.
Right.
That's what it makes it.
What about the BMF? Where do you put that?
That's just like
just
a
gimmick belt.
Yeah, it's a gimmick belt. Yeah.
It's a cool gimmick belt.
It is cool.
It is a gimmick belt.
I mean, listen, bro. Yeah. Who just fought for it? Well, Gaethje and Dustin Poirier fought for it. Damn, those two are some of the baddest motherfuckers. Gaethje and Holloway are about to fight for it. I mean, shit, some bad motherfuckers, you know.
Well, I feel like at what point, like at least that fight is declared kind of like a BMF fight. But I feel like, you know, like Masvidal had it and like he lost, like and he didn't have to give up his BMF belt like after he got.
Who did he lose to?
Was that when he fought Colby? Did he have the BMF belt at the time? Or was that before or after?
That
Even when he
that was probably before, right?
even when he beat Nate for it, it was because of a cut. Yeah. You know what I mean? It wasn't. Yeah. They didn't really get to finish that fight. He was beating his brakes off. I mean, he was, but you can never count Nate out.
No, hell no.
I mean, that's what's crazy. He almost beats Leon at the end there.
If he went after him, he knows what happened.
Yeah, I mean, you never know.
Leon's good though, bro. He's better than
he's better than I thought. He's better than I gave
that
him credit.
Surprised me. I mean, he's taken down Colby and he's taken down.
He's not very big, dude. He's not huge. His brother fought this weekend in the same locker room, and Leon's cool, super cool guy. And he's not that big, you know? You would think some of these guys are huge.
He's tall, though, right? What's that, like,
I mean, he's tall,
6'2"?
He's long, but he's not, like, a massive-looking dude.
Yeah, I feel that.
Yeah.
It's funny how, you know, people can fill out differently. I mean, and some guys are really big for their weight class, and some guys just aren't. Some guys barely make that weight class, you know? And some guys, you know, at the same weight, I mean, obviously we're talking about at weigh-in because fight day they could weigh, 20 pounds more, right?
Yeah.
But on the scale, some guys just look way bigger. Yeah. Piera being one of them.
Oh,
God. That dude is just a monster.
Wow. Well, I never played around with the
looks and is bigger.
I mean, the weight cutting is still, I mean, I'm still figuring it out myself at this point. I mean, I wrestled 184 in college. I hit 74 my freshman year. I did it for like a couple matches, but I'm like, I'm not doing that week in and week out. Mm. So, like, I wrestled at 84, did all the amateur ones at 85. And, I mean, this will only be my fourth time hitting 70 since I always joke. I'm like, man, I wrestled 170 in high school, but that was the last time I was 70 before the fighting. Yeah. That's still, like, every time I do it, it's like a new experience. I mean, I'm getting better at it.
Right.
I mean, like anything with practice, you're getting better at doing it.
At the cut.
But, like, the whole manipulation.
How do you do your cut? Like, how do you do it?
I've been kind of, like, doing a version of the water and the salt, you know, cutting the salts, cutting the carbs, loading up the water. The first time I did it, Corey's like, Corey Anderson, he's like, dude, you gotta trust it. I'm like, I don't know. I was scared a little bit.
Scary for a wrestler. We always cut our water out way less than the next day, cut down a little bit more. You gotta weigh your food, weigh your drinks.
He's like, nope, you better totally do different. It. I'm like, all right, he's like, you can't half, because that's one of those things. If you half it, like you half ass it, it's worse. You're just making it harder on yourself. Right. So it's like, you got to, like, so like the second time I definitely did a better, and like this last time no matter what, the last pound and a half is still sucky. But it's just like, I know I can do it now, so like I feel more comfortable doing it. But I mean, even for me, I fought at like 192 though. I mean, I made 171.
Put 20 on?
Yeah.
You had a very different experience with that, Frankie. I mean, you almost had to wait for a division to open up for you to get in because you didn't weigh enough. You never, in the beginning, the early days.
Yeah. Well, I mean, by the time I was like fighting, the UFC had brought back 55 though.
Do a weight cut.
Yeah, I never did a weight cut at that point.
At that point.
I mean, I did it in college, but never And I don't even know that, honestly, that water loading stuff kind of came late, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if guys are doing that early on.
Yeah. Do you feel like, I mean, there's two ways to look at that. Some people feel like fighting at your natural weight is better. Other people feel like cutting weight, you come in stronger, obviously. And now that they changed, right, didn't it used to be you had to make weight the morning of? Now you can do it the night before, right? So you have 24 hours to put the weight.
No, always the night before.
Was it always?
It used to be you weighed in like 4 o'clock, right? On say we fought Saturday night, I weighed in 4 p.m. Friday. Now we wait 9 a.m. Friday.
Yeah, okay. You guys are like, UFC's like 30 hours by the time you fight.
Yeah, more.
If not, yeah, like, I mean,
depending where you fight at,
We were around like 4 or 5 o'clock, you know, CFFC. It varies.
On, like the old way, like UFC's.
It varies on the state, to be honest. Like, when I was in Tampa, it took forever to weigh. I was losing my mind. I'm like, come on, man. I'm like,
right. That's something you need to take in consideration. I mean, like, right now, you probably get your last bit of weight off the day of weigh-ins, correct?
Yeah, I've made that. I mean,
you try to get most of it off the night before.
I get like nervous, bro. So I like
try to get off.
I get a lot of it off, and then I'm like the day of maybe 2 pounds.
Yeah,
I try to do like two, which I got. That's
sometimes
what I really.
When you have a weigh-in at 9 a.m., it's tough to your body don't want to sweat in the morning.
Yeah,
you know? So it's good to get as far. I try to get down in flat weight so I can drink a little bit and then go to bed.
That's the hardest thing that night before trying to sleep.
Yeah. Like, what's the best way to do that? Like a rubber suit and a sauna. That day of.
Well, it depends what your torture of choice is. Some people like to put a rubber suit on and do work. Like I would do work and then I would sit in the sauna. Like I would never just sit in the sauna. Some guys just like sitting in the sauna. Mm-hmm. Some guys just like sit in the bath. I do work, get my work first, and then I finish in the sauna. That's how I used to do it.
I remember seeing it was Clay Guida's older brother, who's a big dude, they had to drag him out of the sauna because he couldn't get the last weight. Remember, he was just so depleted. It was
in the Ultimate Fighter show.
Yeah, I just I don't like when I want to try maybe in the future or whatever, maybe even this time, like that. Pop your head out of the thing, like the little tent, because that's my biggest thing. When my head gets like overheated, I'm like, that's when I start to kind of.
You can order those off Amazon and put them right in your bedroom. Yeah, they take up no space. It's not like a sauna.
What you got to do too is you got to condition yourself for the sauna. So if you want to use the sauna, you should be going to the sauna now.
Yeah,
you know, not for cutting water, just for recovery, and you'll get used to that heat adaption.
Yeah, so I mean that's the perks. I mean, I got a cool setup. One of the alumni at Drexel owns a dope. My apartment complex is. Part of the deal at coaching there, so like Post Brothers hooks it up at the Piazza, it's called, and I got like the whole gym, sauna, all that.
Yeah, you should be hitting the sauna every day.
I pretty much like if I do like a run, any cardio, I finish in the sauna. Yeah. It's like clutch. It's sick.
That'll help for when you want to use the sauna for your weight cut.
For sure. Yeah.
What do you have a fight coming up?
April 12th.
Yeah. I missed it. Sorry, I missed that. Who are you fighting?
Kevin Pease. So he's
Kevin Pease.
Yeah,
Kevin Pease.
So he, yeah, I mean, be exciting. You know, both wrestling background, you know, base.
Okay.
It's like a more grappling. So I look forward to it. You know, it'd be a good matchup.
He's more a wrestler, right? Wrestling base.
Yeah, he.
Do you know, doing any where he wrestled or anything like that?
College wise, I think it was a D2 school, but still, you know, good gym. He trains out of that Killcliff a lot of times, so it's like I know he has good guys rolling with. So he's rolling with some of the top dudes, and you know, at this level, you know. MMA wrestling.
Doesn't Richie Lewis, doesn't he train out of Killcliff?
He does. Yeah, he's down there. He trains a little bit everywhere down there.
They got a lot of wrestlers down there. I mean, like Jordan Oliver's been in that room in and out. The one dude from Bellator, Storley, I think was in there. So,
Chandler used to be there. Yeah,
even
Kamar used to be there.
Gilbert's down there. Gilbert, so like, right. I mean, when he does, I don't know if this. I don't think he trains there all the time, but when he trains there, I mean, there's plenty of guys to roll with. But you know, it's. Good matchup, in my opinion, if it's wrestling versus wrestling. You know, I believe in my style, you know, and, you know, it's good. The kid's 4-0, you know, but CFFC was looking to give him a title shot at one point, so I don't know even what happened with that. He was actually supposed to fight either Eric or the kid I lost to, and the kid who I – Alonzo, who I lost to, I got caught in a submission, but he was supposed to fight – I think Pease, but I don't know what happened with the CFFC. I don't know if it was just negotiations or whatnot, but like even at that fight in December when they fought, Pease was on the ringside and they had like the, you know, the teleprompter underneath of them was like CFFC 170 champ. They were saying he was the champ, basically trying to hype it up for like a next title fight. So like, I mean, it's a good opponent to, you know, go for, you know. It gives you a good opportunity to, you know.
Oh yeah,
make a step. So
that you signed with CFFC? You have like a exclusive with them?
I mean, right now I've been doing one-of-ones, but I mean, I prefer fighting for CFFC right now. I mean, in my opinion, it's
really,
like
really build your resume.
I'm on Fight Pass right now. I mean, you can't beat the promotion.
They run,
they run the
show really well. Burt Watson kind of showed them the ropes.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, then fighting fighting AC. You know, obviously that's home. You know, states. Mm-hmm, I've been growing up my whole time. You know, whole life been training for AC. So like, it just feels right. You know, I've been watching people fight in AC. And I was always an Arturo Gatti fan growing up. So it's like, come on, I got to cheer for that. Fighting in AC, Boardwalk. I'm not in Boardwalk Hall, but I think of that. Like, that's my same mindset with wrestling. So fighting in the Hard Rock, sick. This will be my second time fighting there. So that's a big thing for me. It's like comfort. Like, I fought at 2300 a couple times over in Philly. It's like whenever I fight in the same place, I just like the more I can fight and remember what it's like in that arena or in that, you know, even the locker room. Like, you know the vibes, you know what to expect. Like, when I fought in Tampa, it was like a weird vibe.
You gotta get used to that, though.
Yeah.
Boy.
Oh, for sure. But it's like the more you can benefit from it, like,
sure,
take advantage of it when you can. Especially like we got our whole team, you know, it'd be me.
It's comfort when you got everybody there. It feels like a Saturday morning at Nicotone.
Yeah,
you
know it's gonna be me, Eric, you got Nick fighting, Luke's fighting, we got Mark now. I was pumped Mark got added to the card. I mean, basically, all of our boys are
Mark
in there.
Mark Gray?
You should come down that night. It's April 12th.
Nate, I actually got a ticket, but I got the kids. Maybe I can get a babysitter. Possibly. I got a ticket for it already, but we'll see what happens. I might be able to get a sitter.
Yeah.
Sweet. What was I going to say? Oh, as a young fighter, right? I mean, we're talking about climbing the ladder to reach that pinnacle. I mean, you a lot of times, like when Conor McGregor's came on the scene, friends of Frankie would get in his ear and be like, dude, be more like that guy. Talk shit. You know what I mean? Get bigger fights, get bigger paydays. He's like, bro, I've been doing this too long. I can't change my persona to be this alter ego halfway through my career. It would make no sense. He's like, and I'm just not built that way anyway. I'm not going to act like that. Do guys like that, I don't want to say inspire, but do you see acting that way or you know, having a flashy outside the ring persona as a way to build to get like maybe a UFC contract quicker, sooner? Or are you more like Frankie, like, fuck that, I'm just going to be me, be myself, and not change for anybody?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, I mean...
I mean, we were just talking about a guy that did it too, Colby, right?
The way the world here is social media, right? People, if you got a following, that's definitely going to, I think, you know, up something, you know, whether it be sponsorship or getting you into the show maybe a little quicker. I think, you know, part of that, you see some of these guys that already have a good background in wrestling, like a Bo Nickel, right? I mean, that dude's world class already.
He's got a little persona to him. I mean, he talks a lot of shit. He calls out everybody. And, you know.
But so like
confidence.
He's very confident. So like he's got his little persona, but I mean, he proved it already, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like you can't let him fight like four fights in CFFC and then go. I mean, mm-hmm. he already has, like, no one's going to fight that guy at this level. Right. But I think it is important to kind of build that. I'm not saying be a Conor McGregor or like a Colby Covington, but like for me, like I'll never, you know, to go that route, but it's like I think being a positive, you know, good speaker, if you can get on camera and talk a little bit, sure. I think it definitely goes a long way. And I think like my whole thing is I'll never like flip the script on somebody and try to be like a punk. That's not how I was raised, you know. I'm still gonna give that, you know, honest, you know, straightforward opinion of myself and trying to be positive, but also like, hey, like you said, confidence is good, right? Like I think they look for that, so it's like, you want to be confident, but like at the same time, I'm not going to come out and like start talking shit unless somebody starts talking shit at me, you know? Like, I'm not going to be that guy who like sets the pace for that. But like you said, I mean, you see people go make jumps just because of like
huge jumps.
Yeah, like one video on like a social media. You get a viral clip or something. It's like, I mean, we're talking about social media now. We got the Paul brothers, right? I mean, this dude's fighting Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
Making him how many millions of dollars on Netflix just because
you can't hate on that guy. I can't hate on that guy at all.
So it's like he's doing it in a sense, but I mean, making his own path. Right. But it's like because he's got a face, he's got a name, and he can speak, and people are intrigued by it. Exactly. So you got to, I mean, WWE's part of what UFC now, right? Yeah. They're the same ownership. So it's like,
I mean, CM Punk, I remember everybody was like so mad that CM Punk, you know, got a shot in the UFC and this and that. And I'm like, you know, and I get it because, like, say you're a, you know, up and coming fighter, you're fucking busting your ass, you're fighting good competition, you're doing this, doing that, and this guy who really hasn't fought anybody gets a spot in the UFC. I'm like, but he did something in his life that people give a shit to either see him win a fight or get his ass kicked. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, he did something in his life to be of importance. That matters. That holds weight.
Absolutely.
And obviously, what it seems like what we're talking about, that might hold more weight than actually being good at fighting.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate. Because, you know,
it's the world we live in, though.
I mean, you know, as a competitor, you want to be judged for your skills and how much of performance and how much heart you put out there, not your following, not, you know, your how many people are yelling for you.
I agree. But again, two ways to look at that. If you just want to be the best fighter in the world, then sure, be yourself. If you want to get paid, and your focus is making money,
there's such a big fan base in this sport. There's a niche for everybody. There's a niche for the holy guy, right? There's a niche for the big, you know,
the holy guy
smack talker.
Doesn't make Conor money, though.
Maybe not. No, you know, but I mean, hey, but he's not going to hell either.
You're going to go full Bryce Mitchell, right? Just get the whole sermon. On
Dude, I'm a Bryce Mitchell fan. He's a little out there. Him and our friend Jesse would get along great. Yeah. And I'm not saying, listen, man, I'm at a stage in my life where I think almost anything's plausible, but he's still, you know, the flat earth stuff and all that. I'm not convinced yet, but... As an American and as a human and as a fighter, I fucking love that dude, bro. Yeah. I love Bryce Mitchell.
Yeah, no, he's great.
No, he's a dog, too.
He's great, bro.
What was your major in college?
So I studied at Brown. I was business and entrepreneurship. So, like, they don't have, like, they're super, like, liberal arts. Like, my dad always jokes, he's like, man, you got through that college, staying kind of, you know, staying conservative. Because, like, they would, like, if they had something to protest, like, they would protest.
Yeah,
but it's,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's definitely, all the athletes kind of stuck together. And then there was the everybody else. Right. So, like, we actually, like, at one point, they in the local, like, the school newspaper, they were, like, all athletes should be gone. Like, they like hated us, like, to an extent.
They hate anything to do with fitness. They think
they wanted him to go out for the girls' volleyball team.
Yeah, Exactly. Yeah, but the, yeah, so like
the MMA thing doesn't work out. You could always take up, you know, you just claim that you're, you know, you're transition. You could be the top athlete in whatever sport you pick.
Yeah, so like I got a plan there. Yeah, no. But yeah, so like, I did they don't have like a business school, but they have like a well-rounded like program. So it's like business entrepreneurship and organizations is what it was called, but it was like pretty much like well-rounded business, you know, mm-hmm. you learn marketing, all that, you know, everything. It wasn't like I did just finance or whatever. So I did the business there, and then I did my master's at Sacred Heart. That's when I did the football and like the baseball after the 4 years of wrestling, and I did sports media there. So that was cool. Like I was kind of upset that it got cut short because of COVID. Like the program was like an accelerated program. So I like they had like their own little studio and stuff. So we would do like a mock sports show. Like I got a couple clips doing like ESPN stuff, it felt like. And like our professor is actually pretty cool. Brian Thorne, his name is. And he's like a producer on like, he used to do Bellator actually. He was the one of the head producers when it was like in Connecticut a lot. They fought in, I forget the arena was up there. But like he would produce Fox like the whole,
right?
The whole show. Whenever it was in like Mohegan Sun too, like he would do. Like he would produce a lot. And it was a cool program because you got to do like all kinds of stuff. So I did like the speaking stuff. And then like they taught us the behind the scenes. Even at one point they had me holding the camera and stuff. So it was like cool to learn some different skills just like to, you know, you never know what you're going to end up doing.
Do you have any aspirations? I mean, obviously, you know, we know what the goal is, you know, make it in this fighting career. But do you have any other aspirations other than that, other than fighting?
Yeah, I got a bunch of crazy ideas. But, I mean, like, in terms of, like, I think they're not crazy.
Right?
Not crazy,
they're
right?
Not crazy.
Hey, I mean, when I say crazy, I mean, like,
if they're not crazy, they're not good ideas. How about that?
That's true. I like that. You know? I mean, I never want to, like, I always joke, I've been busting Todd's chops at Frazier. I'm like, yo, you got to get in me or get me a tryout, bro. Like, because I still have, like, I feel like I, like, never got that opportunity. But, like, right now I'm all in on fighting, so it's, like, going to be hard to, like, bounce around to other sports. But always open.
He's doing commentating now, right? For what?
For Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, so, like, that's always, like, something I'm interested in, you know, for sure. I mean, like, I got a little bit of training, like, a little taste of it, and yeah, it'd be a great transition, right? You know, yeah, I got a background technically in all three sports, you know. I did them all at the, not the highest level, but pretty high level of wrestling, in my opinion, at the highest level. I wrestled in the NCAA tournament 3 times. So, like, I've been a part of that. But, like, you know, at least I played college football and stuff. So, I got experience at a couple different ones. So, it's, like, I've been around it. I've been around some players who are, like, in the NFL now. So, it's, like, it'll be cool to definitely, like, kind of keep that route going, stay in sports. I mean, that's why I'm kind of how I got into coaching with college wrestling. I started out, you know, with COVID ending, I was doing, like, project managing for, like, construction, which it wasn't right there. I mean, I was doing good with Ryan Holmes. I was, like, doing the home builder stuff, and it was good, but it wasn't, like, what I wanted to do.
He knows John Holmes.
Not that old, buddy.
But, like, Ryan Holmes stuff was cool, but I'm, like, once I got, you know, one of the – Matt, our coach from Drexel, Azevedo, gave me a call one day. I'm, like, oh, I can go coach wrestling and be around, you know, the guys and impact people's lives like that.
And you're helping your MMA career doing that.
Like,
you know?
I roll with the guys almost every day, you know, which is good. So it's like I'm staying active in wrestling, staying active in my craft. And it's kind of cool having like a team still again. Yep. You know, like when I was doing the other stuff, it was like, yeah, I had the construction team, but they're not, you know, focused on the same goals there.
Right.
And so I feel like the kids look at me like, oh, he's fighting, he's pursuing something similar. You know, obviously it's not a wrestling match, but they get excited, and then it flips around. Like, I get excited for them. So it's like it's cool. We kind of work together with it.
Yep. I feel like that's where you're at in your career now. You're all about fully investing in the next generation and your son, obviously, and, you know, potentially raising some champions, you know, training.
I was kind of in his position pretty much at your age. I mean, I was just got in UFC. I was coaching at Rutgers, you know, and juggling fighting. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Being a plumber.
I think I was doing plumbing and Rutgers for a little bit. Third fight in UFC, so I was able to kind of just focus on that, but I still was coaching at Rutgers for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm. I see guys like on on the Ultimate Fighter show and stuff, they interview them and they have no other plan. They have not, they burn the boat, they burn the ships, you know what I mean? They're like, I got nothing after them. One of them was the blonde haired kid. He actually sucked. He talked all the, talking about guys that talk shit. What was his name?
Junie Brown.
Remember him?
Junie Browning or something?
Yeah, he was all upset at the end. He's like, I don't know what I'm going to do. This was it. This was my everything.
Wasn't he the guy like, hit me? No, somewhere. I was like, hit me. He got knocked out.
No, that was, he's actually great over in Bare Knuckle now. That was, how did he
No, you said not Julian Lane.
That was Julian Lane. He got knocked out.
No, some other guy said, like, hit me. Like he was like, it's okay, hit me. Like, they were saying, hit me.
It was like, hit me, bro, hit me, or something like that.
No,
right?
He said, let me bang, bro.
Yeah, let me bang, bro. Yeah, 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 that's okay. But you're saying, wait, you're saying Julian didn't get knocked out? He did get knocked out.
In a fight?
No.
I'm talking, or maybe in the show? Yeah, maybe. Yeah. No, I'm saying this guy was like, hit me. Like, it's okay, hit me. Like, he wanted me to hit me.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was out by the pool, yeah.
No anger, you know? Yeah. I forget who it was, though.
What do you think about that? Like, the whole bare knuckle thing, and now they got the bare knuckle MMA. I mean, I joke around. I'm like, shoot, I wouldn't mind being able to not have gloves on. Like if you...
I mean, that's the most purest form, right?
Mm. I think the bare knuckle boxing is a little wild. But
yeah,
I mean,
it is. It's tough. I don't know. I mean, I like I'll watch it. You know,
oh, it's exciting to watch, man.
Right? Yeah, I mean, that's what we're talking about, right?
I'd rather just put some. Yeah, it's like you're guaranteed to get cut. You know?
Forget it with me, bro. I'll be like,
I get cut normally. Never mind.
And there are guys that you know did well in the UFC, but have gone over there. Mike
Perry,
dude. I mean, that dude is a fucking king. No, I think the king is who's the heavyweight dude. He's really good. He's scary as fuck to watch him fight. Lorenzo Hunt. Yeah. He's fucking scary.
Well, I mean, like,
he's scary.
When I saw Perry was gonna fight Rockhold, yep. Like, Rockhold's gonna kill him.
I thought the same, bro.
Yeah, but like, once he got in there and got like his tooth knocked out or something, he was like,
yeah, but I feel like Luke didn't, like, you know,
fully commit.
Yeah. Yeah,
I just thought size wise, like, that's what I was looking at. Like, that dude,
like, I think Mike Perry was like, I'm fighting for my paychecks, I'm fighting for everything, you know.
He's like, I'm gonna break your fist with my face.
Yeah, yeah. And like,
he's
Luke's
a beast.
Like, I got a modeling career on the side.
He's
know?
Got the blue steel going. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
A little more. Didn't he date Demi Lovato back in the day? I think he did. Pretty sure.
I don't know if I'd brag about that one, right?
Well, I think that was before she shaved her head and went fully woke, but
yeah. Didn't she, like, she was a day then for a little bit, and then she renounced that. Yeah.
But I think that was after him.
Yeah.
I think he hit the eject button. He saw that coming down the road, but pretty sure he dated her back in the day. Andrew, can you look that up? You don't have to pull it up there. Just see if Demi Lovato and Luke Rockhold dated. I don't know why I drew a blank on his name, but.
Yeah, I've seen him. He's on that Jackson podcast quite a bit, too.
Is he?
Yeah.
I mean, everybody talks about his work ethic in the gym and how good he... And listen, even in the... But he always fell a little short, I feel like, you know?
Mm, I mean, UFC champion.
What, did he run Strikeforce for a while, right? That was all big?
I mean, he became... No, I don't know. I mean, he was in Strikeforce for a little bit, but I mean, I don't know if he ran it. He was doing well. I think when he got to UFC, he went on the run.
Yeah.
You know, when he beat Wyman. Got the title. Yeah. Then he lost to
Bisping.
Bisping right after, right?
He talked a lot of shit.
I think he was overlooking Bisping because he beat Bisping already.
Yeah.
And he's fighting Bisping on a short notice.
Yeah.
And I remember, what was it? Like, they were about to touch gloves. And he's like, no touching. And Bisping goes, I'm going to touch your fucking face.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of Bisping when he was in the fight house, but when he, I became a fan of him, bro. He's that good. He just seemed like a British whiny dude in the house, but he dude, he backs it up. He's a great fighter.
He can bang, man. He's tough.
Although my favorite fighter of all time, with the exception of Frankie Edgar, Dan Henderson did a number on him. Man. Yeah, bro. He got him with
Hollywood
Henderson. The Hendo bomb.
When I first started fighting, I had a shaved head, you know, and Dan had shaved head. Yeah. They were calling me Hollywood Henderson.
Bro, people say it now in my comments. They're like, holy shit, that dude, who's that next to you? Is that Dan Henderson?
Yeah.
You do look a little Dan Henderson-ish. Yeah. They dated, right? Yeah, yeah.
They dated. Jealous?
No. Wait,
you're in the guys. Of
yeah, I knew he was gonna say that. I knew that was coming. I can predict his lines.
You could do. He's somewhere like we finished each other's
sentences. Sandwiches.
Oh man. So what year did you have to deal with COVID? What years of college?
So I finished wrestling. Like I did, because Ivy League, you got to go straight through the gray shirt, skip a year kind of thing. So, like, my true freshman year, I only wrestled, like, 10 matches or something, and then I started my next three at 84 and made it to the national tournament those 3 years. So, if I did, like, red shirt, that was the year, if I made it to nationals, like, that fifth year, it got canceled. Wow. So, that was the year I did football at Sacred Heart, which is pretty cool. You know, it's cool to get back out there after, you know, 4 years of not doing it. Like, high school was to, like, go football. And then, like, the Ivy League gave me the opportunities with wrestling. So, my dad's like, hey, you know, you should probably consider this. And, it all worked out. And then here we are today. We're, you know, we're doing MMA now.
Did Brown have football?
Yeah. So, originally, I was going to try to do both. And but I got the spot for the way it works is like they give you an admission spot like academically and stuff. And so I got that through wrestling, and like football would have been like a secondary thing. So like basically the wrestling coach was like, hey, you know, we're giving you the spot for wrestling. Like you got to do this first, and then maybe we can consider it down the mm-hmm. road. But then once I got into school, I'm like, this is a lot already. Yeah, so yeah. like, you know, with the academic side. But then I was like, I found that opportunity. I'm like, I always wanted to do it in college. And Sacred Heart actually recruited me out the gate. And we had a lot of kids from my high school. I went to St. Joe's in Hamilton. They were on Sacred Heart at the time. So like it was cool. Like when I came in, it was like, we had these twins that were on my team in high school. We had an O-lineman. He's a left tackle. He's actually on the Panthers now, this kid, JD. And one of the coaches was from my high school. So basically it was like the college was like a next step for St. Joe. Like all of our kids were ended up there anyway. So it was like kind of cool to be reunited with the boys. Mm. And then like I got, you know, pretty good opportunities to like kind of get in the mix. Like I started on all special teams. I was in on some packages. It was really hard to learn like the schemes and stuff. Like I give those dudes credit, man. Like, you know, it's hard to play fast when you're, like, trying to, like, focus on so many things. It's, like, that right. next level. It's not just, like, oh, read the guard, chase the ball. It's, like, you know what I mean, like, it's...
Roger wouldn't be able to focus. He wouldn't be able to focus with all those packages going on.
Yeah.
Here we go. There's been a number of, like, high-level crossover athletes, though. Michael Jordan, right? He played baseball. And yeah. Then basketball.
I guess he was still pretty good.
He pretty much owned the team.
You think... I mean, how good was he, you think? If he wasn't Michael Jordan, would he have made it even to the minors?
In baseball?
Yeah.
I mean
Bo
Jackson.
He played
Bo Jackson was probably the best athlete ever.
He was my inspiration always, like in high school and stuff. And like I even like was joking, like I got athlete of the year. I'm like, I want to do the picture with the baseball bat pad. So I kind of like... That was always my, you know, that's like, I looked up to that.
He ripped his hamstring off his bone, right?
It was because he was too athletic.
Yeah, so
like, literally, they said, yeah. I mean, prime time, he was.
Yeah,
that's he right.
Yep. Prime time played yep. in, a, he was, in a, like a playoff, two playoff games? Like,
yep.
Or a World Series in a playoff game? Something like that.
Yeah, crazy.
Something crazy.
He's still, like, not obviously act, but he's still commentating and stuff, right?
No, he's the head coach at
Is he really?
He's Colorado. Yeah, yeah.
Oh wow.
He's the NIL king right now, mm-hmm. I think. I mean that's crazy. I mean, like I mean wrestling is not as big. I mean, we got some guys that
some
are
guys
like
are making money,
like the top of the top are, but like football, mm-hmm. it's like any starter like right. is like potentially NIL deal. It's like it's crazy. I mean, back when I was in college, if I ran a camp and put my name on it, I'd get in trouble.
Yeah.
But like these guys are getting paid,
you know that, right? You know what that means, right? NIL,
what is it?
Name and likeness deal.
What do you mean for? Oh yeah, in college you can. Yeah, we were talking about Sebastian about it.
Yeah. Pretty much get paid nowadays.
Yeah, right. Speaking of Sebastian, there's another guy. We're just talking about COVID and how it affected stuff. I mean, that's a guy that basically got robbed of a national championship because of COVID.
Yeah. Well, I was trying, believe it or not. So like, I was talking to Leonardis over at Rutgers.
Mm-hmm.
So like, my freshman year, I had a couple little injuries. I didn't have enough to get a medical though. I was like trying to get a medical. I'm like, I want to wrestle. I already invested in. I mean, the football thing was a cool idea, but like, I wanted to keep wrestling. Yeah. I felt like if I had one more year, in my opinion, I was always right there. I was like round of 16. You know, I was always chopping at the bit. This match kills me. You know, he's had that one match that haunts you. Like,
I had a few,
but yeah, me and Max, like I was close with Dean, and like. And that's a dude that won nationals. Yeah. You know, he's always in the top five, if not higher. I think he was a finalist, two or three time finalist. And it's like, I mean, I knew I was right with those guys. I just felt like I needed that one more year. Mm-hmm. And I was still young. Like I was, my last year of college in the NCAA tournament, I was only 21. Like some of these dudes are like 23, 24 right. now.
Mm-hmm.
So like I was even joking my first year coaching, because I was with everybody got COVID years and stuff. Our kid, Mickey O'Malley, he was in the round of 12. He's wrestling. Kemmerer is, like, older than me. He's, like, wrestling. I'm like, dude, this dude's older than me. This is weird. Yeah. But, like, so, like, I was trying to get that medical year, but I'm like, hindsight's 20/20. I'm like, hey, maybe that was for the better. Maybe at least I got the opportunity to do the other sports.
Right.
Because, like, I would have got canceled. You know, like, the school would have got, you would have made it to NCAAs.
Perspective,
and then it got
right?
canceled.
Is everything,
So, like, those guys all qualified. Like, we had a kid, we had McFadden's helps coach with Drexel, Dave okay. McFadden. Yeah. And he was, I think, either like the one or two seed. Like they had seeded everybody.
Was he VTech?
Yeah, he wrestled at DePaul in high school. Yeah. But yeah, guys like that. It's like they had the brackets were set, like ready to rock. Like I think they it was a week before. So like the D3 schools were actually at nationals and they canceled the tournament. And then like the NCAAs for D1 was the next weekend. So like they had the brackets were ready, and like literally they It's crazy, man. That would have I'm, you know, it worked out that I wasn't part of it because like that would have sucked.
Yeah, man. I'll never. I don't want to. I said Frankie's gonna be like, here we go. But we're not gonna. I don't want to get political. But I'll never forget certain
Trucker
things.
Carlson. Trucker Carlson. Okay. Trucker Carlson's on the mic.
One of your better lines, actually. No, just COVID. Never. I'll never forget what they fucking did to us. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'll never forget 9/11, and I'll never forget COVID ever. But anyway, moving on. Let's talk about Corey Anderson's fight. He's a new world champion.
Bellator lightweight, heavyweight champ.
Definitely not lightweight.
Obviously, you were over there. You were in his corner battling a little illness. I hear in your voice still. But
no, a little sinus thing going.
A little sinus thing. Yeah. But how was that whole experience? I mean, I watched the fight.
It was awesome. Me and Nick flew out. You know, we got out there, I think, on Wednesday. He fought Friday evening. Frankie Perez was out there.
So
cool to hang out with him.
Yeah.
Ricardo was out there. Mark came out, you know, fight day. And, yeah, man, great performance from Corey.
Dude, I'm not going to lie. Watching it, obviously you're there in person, and it was a totally different experience watching it on TV, but there was a couple moments. He got, in the first round, one head kick that got through, one other head kick that looked like it could have affected him a little bit, and then he got in that deep arm bar, and I think that was round
scary.
Round
was
three. Crazy. I was like, holy fuck, but great scramble by him.
Yeah, no, it's super, super scary. That arm bar was scary because he went to get out, and it was like, okay, he's out. But it's like, oh my God, there's a defense, he's not out. And then he was stuck again. I was like, oh, and then it was like, okay, he was out. It was like, you know what I mean? Like,
That was deep.
Couple tight asshole pinches in that one.
How'd you feel about the officiating there with the
The guy was horrible, man. Horrible. I hate referees that get involved.
I mean, I've never seen
Corey's headbutting. First, the guy was dick bumping him up, and Corey was posting his head because otherwise he would have fell over.
Yeah.
You know, and dude, you grapple with your face. I grapple my face. Even I leave Monday, I have marks all over my face because you got to use your head to grapple.
Whoever the commentators are were saying that was a good call by the ref. That was a good call. I heard him say that.
I mean, they were leaning on that Nemkov situation with the head clash thing, right? I mean, I feel like they were still going back to that. It's like they're
bullshit, dude. Come on. You know.
You need to get more former fighters as ref is what you need to do.
I've never seen so many separations just in general. Like, I mean, these guys, I mean, UFC, you rarely see it. No. I mean, I actually saw one the other day just, like, watching one of those fight nights or something. But it was, like, I felt like it was reasonable, you know. Mm-hmm. But, like, I mean, even when it's, like, a dead stop, like, if the ref's going to let it work, you know. But, like, I mean, you earn that position. Like,
speaking of that, you know who I saw recently? He's probably been doing it for a while. But recently I saw him. Frank Trigg is reffing now. Mm-hmm. He's a former fighter.
He's been doing it for quite a bit now, I think. Yeah. A few years at least, yeah.
How was the... And that dude was from Belfast, right? How was that?
Moore was his last name. Carl Moore?
Carl Moore. I was like, of course, I'm like, man, you was from Belfast, man. You're more like from Bel Slow.
That's great. Dude, I got to hear about this. And I said to you when you told me, we're going to talk about it on the podcast.
Let it fly.
You almost got into a fight. After...
Not really. We got into it with the Irish crowd.
Well, they're passionate, bro, over there. They're passionate.
So this is way after the fight, though, because we were in the cage taking pictures. You know, he was the last fight. Mm-hmm. So we're in the cage taking pictures. Most of the crowd left. So now we're walking back into the back. Me and Corey are pretty much walking up here, and Perez is behind me. Mark and Ricardo are, like, in the cage still talking to Jenny. So we're walking out. And I hear some dude like, oh, you don't like to stand, Corey? You don't like to box? You don't like to box? Kind of playful, but you know what I mean? And I was like, yeah. I was like, why don't you come back here, motherfucker? I'll show you how to box. And it was like, you know, it was kind of like, you know.
Yeah, that sounds playful.
But in my voice, I was like, hey, come over here, motherfucker. I'll show you how to box. Ah! You know, and the guy smiled. I smiled. It wasn't like, you know. But then I guess someone was behind him, was fucking really jawing at Corey. And Frank's like, what? And Perez got pissed and starts going over to jump over the thing. And I guess security grabs him. And I had my rubber gloves in my hand still. And I ran over, dude. This dude didn't know what I had in my hand. And I macked it right off his face. And he was like, oh, he thought I had like a fucking bottle or something. Or I was throwing a punch. I was like, oh. And then some security guy grabbed me. And I'm fucking threw his hands off. I'm like, get the fuck, don't touch me. Don't touch me. He's like, whoa, relax, relax. I'm like, oh, I'm relaxed. Just don't touch me. I hate when people try, they grab you to say relax. Yeah. Like, dude, I'm chill.
Right.
Don't touch me.
I agree with that.
You know? Yeah. Grab me. Then I'm not going to relax.
Yep.
But it was, you know, it was all cool. The guy's like, oh, man, we almost got me. Almost got me. So, yeah, it was fun. That was a fun part.
Making memories.
Yeah.
Making memories.
You know, one Frankie goes, the other one's got to go. Yeah. Come on.
It's good to see Corey get that, though. He's definitely worked hard for it, bro. He's such a good dude. One of the hardest workers in the room.
One of the most persistent people I know, and I consider myself a persevering motherfucker. Man, I'm so happy for him. The good guy finally got his roses, or however you want to say it.
Yeah.
I tell this story. I don't know if you know the story. Me, my son, my two sons, we came back, come to my father-in-law's house. Corey was living there. We wrestled that day. Corey's like, hey, boys, how'd you do today?
This is like very early on in his
career. How'd you do today? Tino, my kids are young. Yeah. Tino's like, oh, I took second. And he's like, how'd you do, Frankie? He's like, good. I'm like, good. He's like, did you go 1-1, 2-1, you know.
King of accents over here.
And I'm like,
I was waiting for the Irish accent for the fight.
Oh, wait. I'll be next. Yeah. And I'm like, we didn't win a match, Core, you know? And he's like, that's all right. He's like, I started wrestling your age. He's like, I didn't win a match from 10th grade. I'm like, what? I'm like, yo, my kid, he's in third grade. He's like, yep, I know. He wrestled from third grade to 10th grade without winning a match.
That's seven years of losing matches.
That's amazing.
Man.
That's amazing, because I would have broke a long time ago, and I would have been like Roger saying, well, my school didn't offer wrestling. You know what I mean? That's what I would have been like.
What, did you want me to go out on the lawn and just start challenging people?
I mean, if anything,
a varsity letter in fly fishing, though, you fucking cockroach.
Like,
log rolling.
Wrestling humbles you real quick. Yeah. I mean, like I said, I started around like fourth grade ish, you know, like my brother did it first. He was always big kid. He was like a heavyweight. He's the lineman in the family. And like, I always did the other sports. I was successful in them, and I started wrestling. I was a little bigger, being a little, you know, still a little kid, but I was bigger for like the age. So I have to wrestle like, maybe I'm fourth grade. I'm wrestling like sixth graders. I'm gonna get my ass beat. Mm. And it's just like, like I said, humbles you real quick, man. Like, you learn, like, you get thrown in the fire, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I think everybody should get a taste of it at one point, you know?
I would think that it builds something in you where you're either going to be a quitter right off the bat, like Corey, or like your example, or you're going to say, I'm going to figure out a way to beat these guys, and you're going against bigger, stronger people, so it makes you better, right? Yep. Makes you better, so.
But yeah, that story's crazy, man. Corey, just keep on the grind, man. And even his college career, he started junior college, and then he moved up.
Right, and
then
took runner-up, D2 Nationals.
Yeah, so like.
And then a world champion.
Now he's world champ. I mean, that's what's cool.
Tough champ, world champ.
Yep.
You know? I mean, come on. There's nothing you can't do. Don't listen to nobody.
He's pretty. I was going to say he's a pretty accomplished hunter, too, but weren't you supposed to do a trip with him to go pig hunting?
Like, yeah, he told me about it. I wish, but that's the night I got inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Oh, okay.
You know, or gotcha. They announced it, yeah.
We got to do that. We got a bunch of offers to go.
I don't know, whatever. He went with dogs. And harpoons and knives. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Pete is coming after you.
Bro, I'm going to eat them. I'm going to eat the pig.
Bro, I ate a goldfish one time and PETA came after me.
Who's PETA?
PETA. Yeah, no, very happy for Corey, though. That's amazing.
Oh, dude, another thing I did. I'm going to tell you about this.
Sure.
I hosted a block at the Garden State Film Festival. Dude, I literally haven't slept in fucking days. I mean, I had the past couple days. Because I was in Ireland a mess, you know, the whole time. Time difference and doing this and
did you go to the gay bar?
what was you remember the name of it?
No,
you're really serious though. Right?
It's a good story. I went there with Justin Bieber. True story, and Selena Gomez. True story.
That's funny.
They said we're going to a strip club, and I'm like, yeah, I'll go. We jumped into a van with a ton of people, security, Justin Bieber, Selena Gomez. I don't know how this happened, bro. And this is the truth. Frankie's gonna be like, yeah, sure, you slipped the driver a 20. I don't know how this happened, but we walk in. It's a fucking gay strip club. It's not a strip club like I thought.
A bunch of leprechauns running around.
A strip club or no? Just a gay bar, you mean?
I don't.
Probably just a gay bar.
There was dudes up on the bar.
Okay, well, they said there are no titty bars in Belfast because of the Protestant versus Catholic thing. Protestants are super religious.
Right.
And they don't allow that stuff, supposedly. But it's funny, Frankie was asking...
Not Catholics, they'll settle for little boys.
Yeah, exactly.
That's cool.
Exactly. No, but Frankie was asking a guy, like, hey, you know, where's a place to go to, like a nightclub or something? He's like, well, he's like, just one bar, but it's a gay bar.
That's what happened to us, bro.
Like, oh, brother, that's exactly a gay bar.
That's what happened, but me and Frankie said, no, we're good.
I can't even the accent.
Said, what's the address?
Dude.
I drove. Get in!
So anyway,
it's you, Justin Bieber, Selena Gomez.
Yeah.
Gay bar.
Bro, and he's like 14, 15 at the time.
Dude, you're like Puff Daddy, bro. They're probably
all like P. Diddy. He's like P. Diddy.
Get the plane ready. Diddy, you left me.
And like, Justin Bieber, get
dude,
over here.
What
Justin Bieber, you motherfucker.
Bro.
What are you doing with that lad, that big lad over there?
What is going on with fucking Diddy? That's crazy, bro. He fucking fled the country.
Dude, yeah, let's not let... All right, let's,
no, you don't want to get into that? All right.
No, we'll save it for a different
okay.
day.
Okay, all right,
I still need the whole story because I'm still like...
We'll put it out a month from now when it's not relevant at all. Yeah. Good idea, Frankie. Great idea.
Well, we can talk about it. Are we gonna talk about it?
The other big thing in the news. I mean, that's one's like
the fucking bridge.
The bridge, dude. Bro, in Baltimore.
Dude, did you
that's
see
crazy.
The? It looks like the thing steered right into it.
Yeah, but there's somebody explaining it. There's all lights. I follow this dude, Luke McFadden. He's a crab fisher in Chesapeake Bay. But he's like, if you watch this, you see the lights go out on the ship. Then you see the lights. So it's like the ship lost power.
Okay,
and then the lights come back on.
Some people are saying this is an attack.
That sounds like
a cyber attack. They fucking attacked the thing, turned it off. Cyber attack.
Jesse?
No, I'm just seeing people online. I'm not saying it's true or not. Yeah. Again, we have a disclaimer of the video before the video. Saying we don't know what we're talking about. Yeah. Trucker Carlson, he likes to weigh in and say some crazy shit, but it might not be true.
Now, listen, regardless, and they don't even know what the body count, they don't know what the death toll was yet, because they don't know how many cars, it happened at like 3 o'clock in the morning, I think. They don't know how many cars were on the bridge. There was
like
a
20 cars, they said 7 people are missing.
There was actually a crew up there working at the time, everybody went in the water's like 45 degrees or something, so, yeah, sad, tragedy, but...
But a lot of crazy shit going on.
Yeah,
maybe they crashed into the bridge to make a stop talk thinking about Diddy.
I mean, though...
I don't know. Wouldn't be the craziest thing I've ever heard.
The bridge went, though, was what blew my mind. Mm. I mean, because the thing hit, and like this side of the other side of the bridge went down.
They say that what I read is the part it hit is like one of the bigger bases of it.
Yeah.
And it's a mile and a half bridge.
Yeah.
So that was one of the main structures.
And the ship that hit it is absolutely massive, bro. So, I mean, it makes sense that it would. Pretty much take the whole thing down.
But how, is that the only way to get across the chest? You know what I mean? Like, how important is that roadway for us?
That roadway.
Right? Is it a roadway? It's not a roadway.
Waterway?
It's a waterway?
Yes.
Some
it's
of the
a
bridge.
Road across the fucking water.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're talking about the bridge.
I
thought you were talking about the ship. Okay, all right. I'm with you now. Yeah. I'm with you. Gotcha. Gotcha, pal. I don't know, but now, I mean, both are down. Boats or cars can't go
that way. Oh, because the boat's it's in the way.
Bridges,
oh, wow.
There's no boat traffic going through. Because that's probably a shipping lane.
That's probably more detrimental to us than even the road thing. Because the road, we get around, obviously.
I don't think environmentally there was a big spill or anything of that nature. I think obviously the people that are missing is the most concerning, but that ship is probably going to be there for a month. They gotta somehow figure out how they're gonna bring in probably massive barges. But I know the Chesapeake Bay is ridiculously shallow. Mm-hmm. It's probably a channel down the middle where those big ships can go, but
like
it's not very deep.
Like how?
Yeah. Great reference.
They said it's gonna be like 5 to 6 years before they could rebuild that.
Oh, I believe
5 to 6 years before you rebuild it.
It was built in 1977.
Yeah, and that's like a major shipping lane. Mm. I don't know if it's the biggest, but outside of New York, New Jersey.
And we're gonna get fucked.
It's down. Yeah,
it's fuck us, of course.
One of the main arteries up this way, besides 95. So it's bad.
We're not gonna get food now.
No.
Watch.
Yeah, it'll be some bullshit like that.
Prices. We have to eat fucking bean burgers.
Yeah.
Crickets.
Yeah. But they said that the ship put out a mayday, and the cops shut off the traffic in both directions. It limited what the casualties would have been, but there was still the crew and there were still cars, a couple. Mm-hmm. So.
You see the video, obviously it's at nighttime, but you see headlights going over. I didn't see any at the exact moment it hit, so maybe it's possible.
Some people are trying to say, there's detonation, look at the detonation. Yeah. But people are saying it's an electric wire going across it. There would be an arc when the wire breaks.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, listen, you're always going to deal with that. And I'm not saying that maybe some of them aren't warranted, but in this case, I mean, I don't know. I'm not that suspect of a terrorist. It seems like if it was a terrorist attack and they wanted to, have mass casualties and mass deaths, there's way better ways to do it than that.
Would it be at 3 a.m.?
No, I think it's something with the shipping stuff. I would think that. Yeah. Listen, if it is...
Well, they said the same thing when they had the ship stuck sideways across, what was that, the Suez Canal or the Panama Canal or whatever canal it was? And it was there was all these conspiracy theories that there were, they were smuggling little kids in it, and it was connected to the Clintons. And again, disclaimer: we don't claim any of this is true. Or
just said Hillary's
Yes, yeah, Evergreen. Yeah, Evergreen. Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's it. That's it.
Yeah.
That's right. If we got no food, you guys are going to be eating, you know, eating carnivore. Right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Straight yeah, carnivore. Exactly. Be protein, baby. Be protein. It's
no lactose either.
There you go.
So, no farting. Right, Rod?
Something gay is going to come out of your mouth next. I know it.
Well, we can't really hear Roger fart.
Just the air escapes naturally. It's a gape. It's a gape. I say, does he talk like this to you? Does he get angry and fucking make fun of you all the time? Because you know he actually likes you if he does that. Because I see, like, I thought it was just me. I'm like, this dude fucking don't like me. But I see Marky Lee come down here and he fucking rides in. Frankie can never be wrong, ever. He's always got to be right about everything. So
yeah, I don't like it off, though.
Yeah, I know. I know. And he has no empathy. Zero.
What's empathy mean?
Empathy means that you is can like be the, what, remorse. The, like, remorse for a loss.
Did you ever watch, what's the show? Guardians of the Galaxy? Mm. The one with the ears that go out? The yeah. antennas?
I didn't watch that. I'm straight.
She's an empath, right?
Yeah, she like feels
she
your
feels
emotions.
What you feel.
Yeah.
Is that what you are?
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm very emotional.
You're an emotional creature.
I'm sad.
Don't make me tell the dog in the pool story again. People will hate you. Peter will hate you more.
Dog in a pool.
Dog in the pool story? You don't know what I'm talking about? Chris's dog.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just made him feel better. Made my buddy feel better.
His buddy's dog fell in the pool, and he calls him up. And, you know, he's got little kids that are, like, crying and all distraught, and calls Frankie up to be like, dude, fucking dog fell in the pool. Man, my kids are, like, you know, distraught. Frankie's like, you didn't like that fucking dog anyway.
Nothing. No hesitation.
I said, bro, you fucking pushed that thing in the pool.
Fell in the pool,
that's
man.
Horrible. Horrible.
Shit. Oh, man. So, CJ, you got a girl?
Nah, I'm flying solo, man.
Solo.
Oh, well, listen, tell the ladies where they can DM you. What's your, you'll be, you're a good-looking dude. They'll be sliding right in
no,
there.
No, but I'm saying, never, like, you had a girl before or anything like that?
Nothing, like, official.
No, serious?
Yeah, man, nothing no. crazy. Yeah.
Are you a chaser?
Nah, just... doing my own thing, yeah. Stay in my lane.
Stay focused. I'm just saying, cause sometimes that could distract you.
Be a distraction
you.
For sure.
Sometimes a girl keeps you grounded, you know?
Oh, I mean, for sure.
It definitely, I feel
not,
like
not multiple ones, though. Or crazy ones.
Get some motivation from it, right? Mm. We gotta stay in shape, right?
Yeah.
That's my whole thing. I feel like if I just do all the right stuff, and the right thing will come along, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes.
You do see that happening to some guys, not just in, you know, MMA, obviously, when they, you know, they rise to fame or whatever, they you know, they see, who was it? I saw, God, why am I drawing a blank on his name? I suck with names. The Russian dude, when he first came on the scene, he used to wear the mouthpieces with the teeth.
Yeah, Andrei Arlovsky.
Andrei Arlovsky. I remember seeing an interview with him where he was like, because he came on the scene like blistering, knocking people out, right? You back when he had the hairy shoulders and shit, remember when he first came on the scene? Yeah. And he said, I just rose to fame so quickly, I couldn't handle it. I was like out at, you know, drinking and the women and all this. And then he got refocused, and that dude is still fighting. He's still fighting. Still doing well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Beast.
He is a beast.
I mean, it's definitely like, that's why I got to stay away. Like, my apartment's sick, but like, I got to be careful up there. Like, I got like the pools and stuff. Like, summer's dangerous. Like,
yeah.
Like,
yeah, for sure.
Women weaken legs, rock.
That's right. We live by that, baby. Nick. You know, but yeah, it's just gotta try to stay locked in.
Straight and narrow. Straight and narrow.
Yeah.
Eyes on the prize.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you. That's a good question, Franklin. What else you got?
I'm saying. I'm just trying to steer the young man in the right direction.
That's true.
That's right.
That's all. You got a bright future ahead. Just gotta make the right choices in life.
Amen. Right? Amen.
This shit ain't forever.
Yeah.
You know, you gotta make the best of it.
Yep. For sure. No, I mean, that's it. We gotta just keep chasing it. And
when did you start your fighting career, Frankie? Obviously, you had the one amateur fight in New York. Right?
One amateur fight back then. What was an amateur fight like back when you start?
Unsanctioned fight. It was no rules. Headbutt the dude.
Doesn't count on your record.
No ambulance. No doctors. No nothing.
Right.
Yeah.
But then your next fight
was my first pro fight.
How old were you?
26.
There you go.
There we go.
There you go.
26. Had my first pro fight. I think I just turned 26.
There you go.
No, 24. I'm sorry. 24, first pro fight.
Well, it's not your first. You've got three under your belt, so you guys are right there.
24, first pro fight. Down UFC 26. UFC champion 28.
Crazy.
Different ballgame back then, too, though. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. How so? I mean, I know how, but...
It's harder to jump that high as quick, nowadays. I mean, although you see that one dude that's fighting Pantoja, Esberg, I don't know his name, something like that. But he's on his third fight in UFC, and he's fighting for the title. So,
Bo Nichols rising pretty fast.
Yeah, but he also didn't have, he got his, what do you have, two fights? I think it's a contender fight. I mean, one fight, and then two contender fights, and then UFC.
Yep.
I was like 5-0, I got into UFC. Mm-hmm. Still, you know, I mean, pretty much have my career in the UFC.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, I think kids...
Doesn't Bo have a big fight coming up, or do you just have...
No, he's fighting on 300.
Main card.
Yeah, that's right.
Like Brundage or something like that? You know the guy he's fighting?
Not too familiar, to be honest.
Decent. He's probably the best guy he's fought so far. Yeah. You know, hands down. I don't think he's fought anybody that great yet.
Yeah, I mean,
this dude, we'll say this will
be my buddy had me tweet talking about social media. He's like, you should post something because like, I think his like opponent dropped out like the week of. He fought Woburn dude.
Yeah.
I'm like,
the guy delivered my garbage.
I was feeling confident. I just had my first pro fight. I'm like, screw it, I'm gonna tweet. And like, everybody's like, it actually picked up some traction. I'm like, imagine if they pulled that.
No shit.
I'm like, I feel like you got to do something.
Listen, you got to take chances. I remember, you know, Corey Anderson. He was influence, I guess. I remember him telling us they kind of influenced a little bit to start calling people out. Remember he showed up at one of John Jones's
and he didn't say a word. Dante said everything.
Hey,
no, I saw Corey talking shit. Stuff, I saw the video of it.
Corey's like, hey, he's yelling through the cage. Mr. Jones, excuse me, sir.
Was Dante talking shit?
Yeah.
This mic keeps cutting out. That's funny. That's typical Dante, though.
That's what Dante said. He said, hey, you take me down in a wrestling match, you go in the cage, that's different.
Yeah.
Fucking stab you, motherfucker.
Yeah, he would, too. He would.
Oh, shit. Funny. CJ, let us know. Let everybody know where they can follow you.
Yeah, man.
Ladies, don't. He's focused. Don't fucking slip into his DMs. You don't want to hear it.
I was laughing. I actually see FFC. I lost my Instagram for like a week, and I was like, dude, I built all them followers, bro. I don't know what to do. I don't have that many, but I got like 5,000 or something. I'm like, shit.
Did you have that single password thing? That's how everybody loses it.
No, you got hacked? It was like a CFFC. Like, they said I like copyright posted, and then like they fixed it for me. Like, they're like, you're good. I'm like, all right, sweet. But it's like, I think it's under CJ LaFragola, like CJ _ LaFragola, mainly on Instagram.
Right on.
I did start a TikTok. I know we're what a government, but I did it because I got a couple of people that are trying to do like collab posts. Like I got a couple of people out in Philly. It's just like Club 215. They're like they put on like events and stuff. So we were doing like collab posts. That's how I found out my Instagram was whack. And then like that's when it like got pulled off. But it was like, so like we were doing like this collab thing. One of my good friends, this girl Ange, she kicks like field goals. That's like her whole like social media thing. And
that blonde chick that cranks them from like
she's a beast
from like the 50-yard line.
Yeah, that's how it all started. We did this thing together.
Famous like a couple years ago, right?
Yeah, we're they're Girls on the Fly, and then Club 215 is like their counterpart. They're all out of Philly. They're my
boys.
That
girl could get you distracted.
That's right. She's tied down, so that's good. All right. We did the field goal thing together, and like that's when I found out my Instagram was whack, and then I fixed it after that. But like that's the only reason I started the TikTok and all that, because she wanted to help me post and stuff.
So it's all part of a bigger picture. Even if you're not into it, it's part of the game that you got to kind of play, right?
I don't mind it. Like I've been messing around. Like I mean, like the other thing I've been trying to like. I mean, I know so much about training and like lifting and doing three sports in college. Like I've been around every kind of like lifting and strength and conditioning. So like I've been even messing around making like workout plans
like
and stuff.
Online
and,
like, mentoring.
That,
yeah.
That's like the next, I feel like, step, like while fighting, it's like, that's something you can do. And it doesn't like necessarily have to be on a schedule. So like, that's kind of like something I've been looking into, like kind of, you know, helping people out with like strength and conditioning and stuff. People always ask me, I'm like, why don't I just like make a little business out of it? You know, gotta find a way.
There's a, large group of young men, talking about younger than you, even your age though, that want to be mentored on just how to be a man, like an alpha. There's
guidance.
Because we live in a world of wussies now. You know, I mean, you and I talked about it one time. You know, like You could literally build a website and just teach young men how to be more masculine, and you'd probably get a big following. You know?
I have some ideas.
You know what I'm saying, though.
I have some ideas. Andrew Tate kind of does that.
You know what I mean? So, didn't he have an institution for a while? What was it called? Do you remember?
He had a school.
Something institute where it was essentially that, teaching young men how to be more masculine.
Frankie's gonna bring him down with his bare knuckles and just put him on the wrestling mat over here and say, "All right, time to man up."
I don't make you bully proof. I build bullies.
There you go. What's Jordan Peterson say? Best thing a man can be is a savage, but learn how to control it, or something like that.
That dude's about as far.
I get it. But I say it all the time. Don't you think? I'll call him on our side, for lack of a better way of putting it. Don't you think our side needs
your side, maybe
intellectuals? We do. We need well-spoken people too. You know, I think Tim Kennedy would be the greatest example of a man's man in my opinion.
That's just king. Yeah, he's a beast.
That dude is a badass.
Top of the food chain
in every aspect. Yeah. He's intellectual.
Did you ever hear the story he was saying? I heard this recently. It popped up on like social media or something. It was like ISIS or somebody was like going to come after him.
Had a bounty. He basically
calls the FBI. Calls him. He's like, "Oh, great! This is awesome."
Yeah.
He's like, "Wait! You're telling me ISIS is coming to attack me?" He's like, "Please."
I feel like we had him on our show. We Zoom interviewed him, but you know, I feel like there's dudes that tell stories. And you're always like, you know, kind of like some of these stolen valor dudes that are like, you know, I believe everything that 100%. Dude says. I believe everything that dude said. He's just built.
He probably
that
don't even tell us the real stuff.
No, I'm sure he don't.
You know what I mean?
I believe him.
Yeah.
He's just built different.
Yep.
Yeah, man. So,
all right, CJ. No, April 12th.
Get tickets, guys.
UFC Fight Pass.
Yep, UFC Fight Pass. And I always say, do AC. You know.
And come down if you can to the Hard Rock.
Hard Rock.
I'm gonna see if I can get out there. I'm in Mark's corner. Renee, you want to watch my kids? April 12th.
I was just looking for a babysitter. Taking applications.
Yeah.
A babysitter and maybe a masseuse.
If you
dual action. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. You don't even have to be Asian.
Rub no tug.
He just wants to tug no rub.
I think I went to one of those one time and I didn't know it was one of those.
You didn't know.
I didn't know.
Over on your back.
I didn't know until I heard the girl, she was giving the worst massage ever. So obviously, like, I was like, "Well, this is a little weird. Something's up here." And then I heard like the little, they tie the bell to the door when the door opens. So you hear the, "Can you leave?" And she's like, "One minute, I'll be back," you know. Goes out and I hear whispering. And then, you know, I hear her say, "Go take clothes off, next room," or whatever. And this dude's, I was like, "Just finish up and I'm good. I'll see you later." The girl was like 50.
50, so, wow. Yeah. Chapped hands, probably. Would have been a rough ride.
I don't know. You know why I don't know? Because she was standing on my back.
Oh, yeah?
She was walking on my
back.
Chapped
feet? All right, CJ, thanks for coming on, man.
Yes, yeah, brother.
Thank you, guys.
You got to sign a board before you get out of here.
Absolutely.
All right, appreciate it.
All right, yeah, boys. Brother. Guys, just a reminder, don't forget to find and follow us on YouTube, Rumble, Instagram, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and most other podcast platforms.